Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri, and Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, July 29, 2014. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The move to elevate First Lady Grace Mugabe to head the powerful ZANU-PF Women's League is gathering steam as the party's organs are throwing their weight behind the candidacy.
There is really nothing untoward or out of context regarding the entire thing. Women have their own rights. How they do it, it's up to them.
President Barack Obama and U.S. State Secretary John Kerry praised two young Zimbabwean leaders for doing wonderful community work.
I was thrilled. I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. It was really me. So to me, it shows how determined I was about this program because it wasn't easy. You really needed to be committed to get to Harare. That's the capital. And Mbinga and Harare is about 900 kilometers.
And MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai is expected to meet British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond in his first major foreign engagement after last year's disputed elections.
The move to elevate First Lady Grace Mugabe to head the powerful ZANU-PF Women's League is gathering steam as the party's organs are throwing their weight behind her candidacy. Matabeleland North and South provinces and youth chairpersons of the party have endorsed the proposal. The Women's League last week recommended her appointment to the position of Secretary for the Women's League. Party insiders say the move has divided the party, with some backing her and others worrying it might cause further friction in a party being torn apart by serious factionalism, which has seen senior officials trading barbs in public. The party is said to be divided into two factions, one led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru and the other by Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa. But the two have denied they are factional leaders. ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the Women's League is within its rights, but adds that the party's supreme decision-making body, the Politburo, will have the final say.
There is really nothing untoward or out of context regarding the entire thing. The women have their own rights. How they do it, it's up to them.
But the Politburo recently came up with some rules that might rule out Amaia Mugabe. Are you going to bend the rules?
What are you talking about? There is nothing like that. It's a Women's League issue. And when we come to making decisions, we will be advised accordingly.
So it's something that is subject to further discussion?
Well, the Women's League makes certain resolutions, recommendations to the Politburo, to Congress. They will be having their meetings, conferences, and so on. They will discuss those things. And in the end, it is the Politburo and finally the Congress which decides on what happens. So we really don't have to spend a lot of our time speculating as to what is going on. There is really nothing untoward. The Women's League, the Youth League, they make resolutions and so on.
Lastly, there are also some who are already speculating that this might actually cause further friction within ZANU-PF. Some analysts who are saying maybe this was meant to counter the ascendance of Amaia Mujuru. Any merit to this?
Yeah, there's no merit whatsoever. ZANU is very stable. ZANU has rules and regulations for ensuring that the party follows the procedures. We have mechanisms of dealing with issues of this nature. So there is really nothing, as far as I'm concerned, Blessing, to worry ourselves about it.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu in London. Music.
One of Zimbabwe's young African leaders, Oriali Fellows Abigail Muleya, says she is happy that U.S. President Barack Obama on Monday mentioned her name when he addressed the 300 fellows attending a summit in Washington, D.C., who are participating in a six-week program meant to empower emerging leaders. Another top-flying Zimbabwean was also mentioned by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. Studio 7's reporter Tatenda Gumbo has more details.
Ms. Obama told the fellows yesterday that Abigail traveled thousands of kilometers for an interview in Harare to be considered for the Yali Fellowship.
A young woman from rural Zimbabwe took a five-hour bus ride, then another six-hour bus ride, then another seven-hour bus ride, a two-day journey just to get her interview.
Abigail, who works for a non-governmental organization, Zubo Trust, in the country's remote Binga District, Matabeleland North Province, says she was very excited when Obama noted that she is among aspiring young leaders who are determined to transform their society. Abigail says it is rare to be mentioned in any form by a leader of Obama's caliber, and as a result, she believes that the American president has inspired her to do more work. The young African woman says that she will work harder to transform the lives of Zimbabweans when she gets back home.
I was thrilled. I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. It was really me. So to me, it shows how determined I was about this program because it wasn't easy. You really needed to be committed to get to Harare. That's the capital. And Binga and Harare is about 900 kilometers. And there's no like one bus to get to Harare. You need to embark on a bus to Bulawayo. Then you drop off, take another one to Harare. So something that I learned in particular was the issue of empowering in a woman. That's something that I strongly believe in. Like, I'll give you a brief background of who I am in terms of my education. When I finished my primary level in Zimbabwe, I didn't have school fees to go to school. So a local organization called, it's not local, it's international, CAMFED, Campaign for Female Education, they paid for my fees. I went to a local boarding school. So after that, I did very well because I knew where I was coming from. I had to work very hard. Then after that, my brother took me to Midland State University to do my first degree. Thereafter, I felt it's time for me to plow back. I need to go back to my community and serve from there. The capital can be exciting, but I don't belong there. So I had to go back to Binga. When I went there, one lady had a vision. She shared her vision with me. We co-founded an organization called Zubo Trust. The organization focuses on empowering women.
She was among 1,500 Zimbabweans who contested for 30 national Yali slots. At the same time, another fellow, Zandile Lambu, a computer scientist and banker, was praised by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry for her work in mobile technology and empowering young women. Lambu, who currently works for privately owned mobile phone network Econet Wireless Zimbabwe as a mobile money app developer and other overlays, says that she's also elated to be mentioned by one of President Obama's top cabinet members. She says that she is working to technologically empower young women and people. Kerry said Zandile was a prime example of young people pushing for economic prosperity in their communities.
And I'm inspired by Zandile Lambu from Zimbabwe. Where is Zandile? Raise your hand. She is leading the charge to promoting inclusive economic growth. And Zandile hasn't just spoken words about shared prosperity. She's walked the walk. She's not in this business to make money. She's in it to make a difference.
Other Yali members include Emmanuel Ndlovu of the Blawayo Progressive Residents Association, who says that the Obama magic will help him rebuild Zimbabwe.
It was a phenomenal experience for me, starting off from Charlottesville, Moven, Monticello, Montpellier, and ending it at Williamsburg. It was a great historical moment, learning from ideals of the American Revolution and the founding principles. It was quite a great experience.
Another Yali member, Sibu Sisiwe Bebe, believes that the sky is the limit for all Yali fellows and other young people worldwide.
It's been overwhelming. I failed the words to explain and the ways to take home what I've learned and to share my experiences. But the little way that I can, I'm going to try by doing myself what I think we need to do as a community back home. I'm so proud at the way they view Africa, the positive energy. Most of what we get from outside is negative. So I'm happy to see people willing to partner with Africa and that are seeing potential, not just in young people, but in the whole of Africa.
The Young African Leaders Initiative is the brainchild of President Obama. He has since renamed it to the Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Tatenda Gumbo.
Thanks a lot, Tatenda. In our studio tonight, we have Yali fellow Rumbidzai Dube, who is a human rights lawyer. Welcome to the program, Ms. Dube.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, sorry about that. Can you tell us a bit about your Yali experience?
My Yali experience has been amazing. As a Yali fellow, I managed to be situated at one of the most historical places in America. I was in Virginia, and that is where the foundations of the American democracy were conceived, from the homes of Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe. That was an amazing experience, and to see how they managed to preserve their history and to trace it back to the Constitution of America and how the democracy has developed and evolved over time was one of the most amazing experiences I had. But above that, the elements of leadership and the characteristics of being a good leader that I was molded to become were also a very moving experience for me. So I walk away with many lessons on good leadership, on critical engagement with policy makers and policy implementers. So that's what I can say I've learned from Yali.
And when you go back home, do you think you'll have the opportunity to put into use what you have learned here?
Indeed, because part of what we have learned, for me, I was in the civic leadership track. It's about what it means to be a good leader and how to engage people who are in current positions of political leadership. So part of strategies of engagement, strategies of litigation, strategies of inputting into politics and engaging youth, women and other marginalized groups in the policy-making processes in the country, and how more effectively you can do that. Those are some of the things that we discussed, and those are some of the skills that I'm going to use when I go back home. And also the experience that I had engaging with other young African leaders, understanding their context even more than I thought I did, and learning from their own context and seeing how our shared experience can be turned into a shared vision and a shared pathway of how we want the change that we want to see on the African continent was also a very profound thing that I got out of Yali.
So from a human rights point of view, what did you make of this program?
From a human rights perspective, this program was very much centered on equality between the men and women in representation, in participation. The program itself seeks to create a generation of leaders that are conscious of the importance of the values that are embedded in human rights, democracy, and good governance. And not just democracy and good governance in politics, but in business management, in public institutions, and in every sphere of life. So that was a very good thing for us to walk away with.
Thanks so much, Ms. Dube. That was our studio guest, Yali fellow Rumbidzai Dube. MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai, who is currently in Britain, is expected to meet British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond in his first major foreign engagement after last year's disputed elections. Tsvangirai was invited to London by think tank Chatham House to discuss Zimbabwe's post-election period. A concern is rising in the country as all economic indicators are heading south. The effects of a weakening rand falling factory output and rising imports are beginning to tell as job losses mount and pressure increases on a government that appears short of solutions to stem the slide. Tsvangirai tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu he is widening his engagements in London beyond the Chatham speech.
I wouldn't say it's a diplomatic or offensive. I would say that I was invited to address Chatham House on the disputed election and the way forward. But, you know, when you come here, you have to use the opportunity to see Zimbabweans in diaspora, which I did, and also to engage the Foreign Office, the government in Britain, about the situation back home.
How are you being received in the UK?
No, there's an overwhelming response. People want to know that Zimbabwe is not a forgotten crisis in the world of other crises. People are very much interested to know what are the next steps.
Going back to that speech at Chatham House, you talked about various scenarios. What is the way forward for Zimbabwe?
The way forward is what we have proposed as the MDC, which is when a country faces a national crisis of our magnitude, you need a collective solution, a consensus as to the way forward, which means that you need national dialogue as a prerequisite to find common solution. In our case, the crisis in 2008 was resolved by national dialogue through the Global Political Agreement, although, of course, it was later on subverted when it came to elections. But the whole process of returning to stability, confidence, and prosperity came out as a result of that negotiated solution. So what we have been calling for is that let's have all stakeholder participation in that dialogue. Not just political parties, but churches, NGOs, trade unions, student movement. Because we face a national crisis, we should find a national solution.
ZANU-PF officials that we have talked to about the need for dialogue are saying, no, Mr. Tsvangirai is desperate to come into another government of national unity.
No, far from it. I'm not desperate. Neither is the MDC desperate. We are desperate to find a national solution. What's wrong with that? Unless, of course, ZANU-PF is saying there's no crisis, as their president has said, that the economy is on the rebound, nothing to worry about, which has now become a laughing stock because everyone knows the state of the economy and the state of the people. So those who still want to bury their head in the sand, like the ones that we are quoting, they can continue to bury their head in the sand.
Some ZANU-PF officials are also saying that in order for that dialogue to happen, you must concede defeat to Mr. Mugabe. Are you going to do that?
We have a disputed election on our hands, and I've maintained a position that under no circumstances are we going to have conditional dialogue. If people want to talk, let's talk, but unconditionally.
Talking about the dialogue, Mr. Tsvangirai, initially I think you were giving the impression that this must be amongst Zimbabweans only, but now you are saying that it should be internationally brokered.
No, when you have got a possible protracted negotiation, you need third-party endorsement. We will talk as Zimbabweans if we feel that we can't make progress and we have reached a deadlock. Obviously, that's where the regional and international people come in.
You are also saying the EU, when it wants to engage with Zimbabwe, must insist on implementation of agreed electoral conditions. Some are taking it to mean that you are saying the EU must maintain the so-called targeted sanctions on Zimbabwe.
No. If we say that the EU must engage on a framework, that's exactly what I mean. If the EU believes in democracy, believes in the rights of the people, surely those values will apply to Zimbabwe too. And if there's going to be a partnership, ZANU-PF government must reciprocate to achieve those values and ethos.
You are also sounding hopeful in your speeches. What is giving you this optimism?
I'm always an optimist. I believe that like any sunset, there will always be sunrise. It's just an optimistic prediction based on what's happening in the country.
That was MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from London.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Justice and Parliamentary Affairs Permanent Secretary Virginia Mabiza says the alignment of some laws with Zimbabwe's new constitution has been very slow, and government has set up an interministerial committee to expedite the process. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Mabiza told Parliament's Justice Portfolio Committee the exercise has been slow due to little or lack of cooperation from line ministries and other key stakeholders. She said the committee chaired by the Justice Ministry is expected to identify all pieces of legislation and pressure line ministries to submit layman draft bills to a ministry for immediate action.
The role of the task force, Honorable Chair, which the Minister of Justice will chair, among others, will include, firstly, to ensure a concerted effort towards the legislative review process, to identify the new policy areas that should be operationalized by means of statute law, to ensure a timely legislative alignment process, to receive reports of progress from line ministries, and to lobby Parliament to also expedite the legislative alignment process.
She said a ministry which is responsible for more than 200 pieces of legislation is doing all it can and has already started the process by targeting those laws that have a direct bearing on the day-to-day government operations, such as the Electoral Amendment Bill, which awaits assent by the President, and the National Prosecuting Authority Bill that has since been signed into law. She said there was need for thorough consultation, adding some key stakeholders like the Law Society were not cooperating.
It's unfortunate organizations such as the Law Society, who are our key stakeholders, have not been so forthcoming, and one would have expected that they should play a leading role in taking interest in this very vital activity.
Law Society of Zimbabwe President Lloyd Mishi said his organization had offered to assist government in various ways and is currently looking at certain law models which government can consider in the process. Quizzed whether government is committed to the process, given that there were many contentious issues in the Electoral Amendment Bill, Mabiza noted that they will do all they can to realign the laws with the new constitution.
Do not want a situation where the Constitutional Court is doing the alignment for us, in the sense, Honorable Chair, that where we fail to comply, the citizens end up getting court orders and we are obliged to comply. That is not the route that we desire. Our intention is that we properly align legislation in terms of what the law provides.
Mabiza said the process was also being affected by the lack of resources. She noted that while they had requested $120,000 for the realignment of the laws, Treasury has only given them $20,000 and none of it has been disbursed to date. More than 400 pieces of legislation have been earmarked for alignment with the new constitution. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The human rights group Heal Zimbabwe Trust is urging the judiciary and police to investigate outstanding cases of the 2008 political violence that saw close to 500 political activists being killed. The group says it welcomes the High Court's decision last week to sentence to 15 years in jail four Kadoma ZANU-PF youths who committed murder during the post-2008 election runoff. It adds that these prosecutions are an integral element of transitional justice aimed at ensuring that perpetrators of violence are tried in accordance with international standards of fair trial and, where appropriate, punished. It also calls for the full operationalization of the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission. Heal Zimbabwe Executive Director Rashid Mahia tells Studio 7 that while they welcome this development, there have been selective application of the law.
What we welcome is the fact that an institution that was established to ensure that there is a rule of law, to ensure that there is justice in Zimbabwe, has delivered justice to the survivors of the perpetrators of the violence that took place in 2008. And that is a welcome move. It is also a welcome move in the sense that it brings some semblance of confidence in the institutions that are supposed to protect citizens and protect the rights of citizens. And as such, we welcome that move, because that confidence itself will create a culture in Zimbabwe where people respect the rights of other citizens and they give importance to the sanctity of life. So we actually respect that a and applaud that decision that has been made by the High Court, because it gives us an important message that no one is above the law, and we want that message to be continuously kept and fostered in the people of Zimbabwe.
What about the lack of full operation of the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission?
We hope that the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission is going to be operationalized. We understand processes are in place to make sure that it's operationalized. We understand Parliament advertised for people to submit their names, and we understand there's been a selection that has taken place. We see those processes and applaud such processes, but we say that's not enough. The commission has to operationalize. It has to be in place. It has to be resourced for it to operate without being biased, for it to operate effectively.
That was the Old Zimbabwe Trust Executive Director Rashid Maia in Harare.
And in sports news, the launch of the African Union Sports Region 5 Under 20 Youth Games, which will be held in Bulawayo from 4 to 16 December, is expected Saturday in the city, where Vice President Joyce Mujuru is expected to be the guest of honor. Countries expected to take part in the games, which are held biannually on rotational basis, include South Africa, Zambia, Namibia, Malawi, Lesotho, Botswana, Mozambique, Angola, Swaziland, Mauritius, Tanzania, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Madagascar. The athletes will take part in soccer, basketball, tennis, swimming, netball, volleyball, athletics, judo, and boxing at venues including the Bulawayo City Pool, Bamba Fields, Luveve, and White City Stadiums. However, preparations for the games have been marred by infighting between residents and companies contracted to refurbish the sports stadiums, who are accused of importing labor from other cities instead of employing locals. The local organizing committee of the games says it is looking into the issue.
In our mailbag today, one of our listeners who did not want to be identified says, "I am happy with the news from Studio 7. Government must help those in Chingwizi camp in Mashingo province who were displaced by floods."
And P. Banda writes from Wange in Matabelele North province, "I wish to thank you for giving us current views."
We thank you for sending us those messages.
If you wish to express your views on Studio 7, please send us a message on our hotline. Leave a message of your choice. The number is +1 202 205 9942. Dial 11 when the phone is answered to leave us your voice message, which we can play on air. The number once again, +1 202 205 9942, and then dial 11 to leave your message.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about Zimbabwe's young leaders shining in the United States at the Young African Leaders Summit.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
The move to elevate First Lady Grace Mugabe to head the powerful ZANU-PF Women's League is gathering steam as the party's organs are throwing their weight behind their candidacy.
President Barack Obama and U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry praised two young Zimbabwean leaders for doing wonderful community work.
And MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai is expected to meet British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond in his first major foreign engagement after last year's disputed elections.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you all a pleasant evening and a very good night. It's all yours, PJ.